This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Come home last Friday, tell that I want to lose my job. See, that don't confront me, so I have my rent next Friday. And next Friday come, I didn't have the rent, and out the door I went. Now, y'all, right across the street here. Help me get this rent together. Some give me a nickel, and some give me a dime. I'm tired of seeing this movie every night. I can't hold out much longer. Now, I got this rent. Now, let's get together, y'all. Let's have a ball.
Carol Cox Show, right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. We're going to have a pretty good show today, I think, something that affects us all, one way or the other. Whether you have a mortgage or renting, you would definitely be interested in this with the current trend of the economy and all those things and the unforeseen developments in one's life. We could find ourselves renting tomorrow, and where do we go? Well, there's a giant cloud out there blocking everything, draining people's pockets and that for money they don't have. And we're going to be talking about the city and county of Honolulu's proposal or plan to sell affordable homes. We talked about this a while back and identified the 12 properties, I think. And this morning we're going to have Steve Loesch and Jane Pasquale. And they are quite active in this and have some very, very interesting, so if information. You can also pick this up if you're having problems with the radio signal at carolcox.com, live on podcast right now. So go there at carolcox.com, just hit live on air, and you can listen to us. And of course, after the show, 20 minutes or so, the show will actually be posted up podcast. So feel free to go there and listen. And 524-1080 is the number. So if you have any questions or ideas, this is very, very important. And we, as I said, we discussed it a while back. And many, many unanswered questions or many, many new questions are developing. So good morning, Steve and Jane.
Good morning. Thanks for having
us. Good morning,
Carol.
So give us a little background of yourselves and an intro, and if we could, what are we looking at and what properties are going to be affected, and we'll take it from there.
My name is Steve Lose. I'm a resident of the city-owned properties. I'm a resident of Chinatown Gateway Plaza in Chinatown.
We're both residents of Chinatown Gateway Plaza.
Mm-hmm. Neighbors. I'm chair of Chinatown Gateway Plaza Tenant Association that was formed in 2006 by residents in Chinatown Gateway Plaza just around the sale to keep ourselves informed and keep ourselves involved mm-hmm. in matters of the sale. The city has been planning to sell these properties. City owns 12 properties. I think 6 of them are in Chinatown. The city's been planning to sell these properties for a long time. There's been talk about this for a number of years. The story was always a favorite mantra of many administrations was that housing is not a core competence of the city. That so we need to sell. We're losing money. We need to sell these properties. Housing is simply not a core competence of the city. We think that any discussion has to start. If you don't start the discussion honestly, you're not going to have a good discussion. So I would like to start here by being very clear in a resident perspective mm-hmm. what the city really is and is not competent at. In fact, the city doesn't manage properties directly. The city manages contracts with professional managing companies that manage the properties directly. And these managing agents are actually pretty good. They're professional managing companies. Their core competence is managing properties. That's what they do. The city manages contracts with these companies. Now, if the housing is mismanaged, it's because the city isn't managing contracts, not because the city isn't actually managing properties directly. Now, we could understand if the city doesn't manage properties necessarily. That's a skill. That's a special industry. But when the city can't manage contracts, that scares us. That's a cause for worry. So if you think the truth is the city isn't managing its contracts very well. Mm-hmm. Another favorite mantra of the city is fiscal responsibility. Have we heard that one before?
Fiscal quite often.
Responsibility, yeah. Well, from a resident perspective, the fiscal responsibility doesn't seem to be a core competence of the city either. few examples of that and why housing doesn't work due to that. You may remember years ago the city actually had an office of housing. A tremendous amount of money disappeared out of that somewhere. So instead of eliminating corruption, the city eliminated the Office of Housing.
Which doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make a lot of sense. If you really want to house people, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Certainly is not fiscal responsibility. you might also remember some years ago the city auditors audited the in-lieu fee program. Mm-hmm. In-lieu fees are money that developers can pay instead of building a required percentage of affordable housing in their development. It's 30%. If you're going to develop an area, you're required to build 30% of that as affordable housing. You can pay money into a fund to build that housing someplace else to preserve your particular development at a certain level.
So in other words, if I wanted to build at Coalina, I can actually buy houses or build houses affordable in Makakilo.
You can, exactly. Okay. You can opt out of.
Doesn't have to be at that.
Putting them that in your development, you can build them somewhere else. And it's called an in-lieu fee.
And then just for the listeners, so then if they allow that in-lieu, you can then, instead of building, opting out to build, you can give the city X amount of dollars.
Right.
And that goes into which fund? The Never Never Fund?
Ask the auditors. Yeah.
So I just want to make sure, because I tried to explain this the other day, yesterday after we met, and the guy didn't get it. So he says, well, you just need to say that what it is, it's a shell game. And I go, can't go that far, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that either. But the audit did conclude that we didn't really know where all that money went, and mm-hmm. no affordable housing had been built with that money. Mm-hmm. So here's a program to opt out of affordable housing in your development, put it somewhere else, and yet the money's gone and no housing was built. It was a very scathing auditing report a couple of years ago. This is not fiscal responsibility, is it? Mm-hmm. Another example, the city was ramping up the sale a couple of years ago when they discovered that something that the city had forgotten, that all HUD investment in these properties, and HUD invests federal, that's Housing and Urban Development, Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development, mm-hmm. HUD has many millions of dollars into Hawaii every year for some very good projects. HUD is deeply invested in these 12 properties. HUD is part owner in these properties. Well, if you sell the properties, you have to pay back HUD. And so a couple of years ago, the city had forgotten that they have to pay back HUD if they sell these, and it almost worked out to where they would lose money if they by selling the properties, because HUD gets paid back right off the top first. Mm-hmm. So the city's plan was to maximize the price, put these properties on the market, and divert the profits out of housing altogether. And HUD reminded them they have to pay back the HUD money, and it simply stopped the sale. That stopped the sale some years ago.
And recently, we have a sale going on now.
The sale is on now. We're deeply into it. Selected a buyer, have the proposed terms of accepted by city council. The HUD has reminded the city, just like day before yesterday or two or three days ago, that the city has to have a detailed plan for using the HUD money that's going to come free for this sale. The HUD provided the city with a schedule of deadlines that the city has to meet mm-hmm. to provide a plan and to use this HUD money productively, or the city has to pay back.
I suspect that plan, the way you're talking, that plan does not exist.
The city is not going to meet its deadlines. So if this current sale continues, the city will have to pay HUD back. And I don't think the city can afford it. That there are now proposals in front of city council for the city council meeting on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday morning. There are proposals to stop the sale because the city cannot produce the plan to use the HUD money. Again, mismanagement of HUD money for the second time, not for the first time, for the second time has stopped. Appears like it's going to stop the sale, or postpone it at least until next year.
So is this these resolutions that you mentioned, is that part of the effort?
To stop the sale?
To stop the sale. Is that related?
These came, these are coming from city council itself. Okay. The Department of Community Services certified to city council, informed city council that they are not going to be able to meet the HUD deadlines. So city council immediately put the two resolutions on the table, one for the administration to stop mm-hmm. it, the other for city council, and they'll pick between the. But again, this is not fiscal responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so when the city says housing is not a core competence of this city, the truth is managing contracts and fiscal responsibility appear not mm-hmm. to be the core competence.
But for us residents, you know, we are concerned about this sale for different purposes. The imminent stop of the sale is because we are not getting the answers that we want from the buyers, from the city, and just in general. You know, every time we ask a question, we get convoluted answers. So to me, personally, I'm speaking personally. Mm-hmm. I feel there are more questions on the table than there are answers. So I would really like some answers before the sale goes through, if it goes through.
I really appreciated your introduction, Carol, because you nailed it, and Jane has emphasized it, that stress, that the uncertainty, the fear, the stress that this causes residents.
Mm-hmm.
Affordable housing residents are not your upper income people. These are working families.
Mm-hmm.
Many one paycheck, or as we say, one divorce away from homeless. And our inability to get answers from the city, it's very, very unnerving. We're discovering, in fact, that even area legislators can't get answers from the city. This wholesale is unfolding with very little transparency or accountability along the way. So we're not opposed to this if this latest HUD misfire does in fact stop the sale and give us time to stop and get some answers, to actually to do the honest math around the to see how the sale is working. We very much support that.
Now, personally speaking, again,
mm-hmm.
If the sale is stopped with this particular buyer, that would be okay with me. I don't have anything against the buyer. What I'm after is someone who's going to buy the property that will be transparent, that will talk with the residents, not at the residents, not to the residents, but with the residents, because we're the ones who have to live with the rents, with whatever happens in this sale. We as residents have to live with the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm after. A buyer who will be honest and open with the residents and with the city. Because the city, after all, is us as taxpayers. We have to foot the bill. All of us. Not just residents. But eventually, everybody's going to have to foot the bill for whatever happens in affordable housing. Not just in our building, but everywhere in Honolulu.
And we won't yet, we'll talk about the hardships that's coming down the road, increase in fees and what have you, but let me go backwards a bit here. Those resolutions, you're supporting those resolutions as tenants and that live at this facility in affordable home, these resolutions?
There are, of the two resolutions, the first one, 13-291, proposes that because we can't meet the HUD deadlines and
mm-hmm.
would lose not just this HUD money, we'd have to pay it back, but would stand to lose HUD money for years into the future,
mm-hmm.
many millions of dollars. The sale simply isn't worth it. The first resolution, 291, proposes that the administration stop the sale, postpone the sale, stop the sale, and get until it can get its act together. The second resolution, 13-292,
mm-hmm.
proposes that the city council stop the sale, that it rescind its proposal that it adopted to adopt the sale in the first place. Personally, I prefer the second.
Okay.
I prefer the second resolution that city council stop the step up and stop the sale. The decision-making belongs to city council. We were always told, Jane just said we can't get answers, we were told that when these proposals hit city council, that we would have full and complete discussions, that all would be revealed, we'd discuss everything. Didn't happen.
No.
When the sale hit city council, in fact, it was rushed through city council. We have to hurry. We got to hurry up. We don't have time to discuss. We're going to lose funding if we don't hurry up. Well, that didn't happen either, but the administration rushed the proposals through city council. They hurried up and adopted these proposals. We did not have the discussion. So I'm in favor of city council taking back its decision-making, its oversight and check and balance authority that kind of gave away in the first place here.
Okay, well, okay, listeners, as you know, last week someone called up and says, well, we talk about what's broken. Why don't we offer some solutions? Well, here's my solution to this one. Get on the phone and call your city council. Now, this is where you ask for it. Now you'll get some directions. I'm reluctant to do this, but to say what you should do, But you should do this. Contact your city council and ask them what, Steve?
Ask them to vote yes to approve Resolution 13-292 at this coming Wednesday city council meeting, Wednesday morning.
Okay, and if you're out there and you have a question or comment, 524-1080, you're more than welcome to call and let us know what you think. And if you are a tenant, you don't have to give your name because I've learned since that if many of the tenants speak up, they get visited or get a hardship later on. So call in and just let us know what you're thinking.
Excellent. The solution you're proposing here is that city council step up to its true check and balance function in our public governance and don't let the administration just steamroll us in these matters.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Maybe these housing projects can be bought by the tenants, get them financed, to take pride of ownership, to form committees, to keep it maintained and secure, things like that. That's always been the American dream, to own a home. Let's keep the government out of it. Let's go to the bank. Let's get some financing. Let's get these people some titles. And let's have government policy that'll let them have some assets and develop that one, and it'll be a real happy story to tell. So please fold that in your conversations, and I'll listen to how that can happen off the air. Thank you.
All righty.
Excellent. Suggestion, and that has come up within our buildings too. There are residents who would like some owner equity, and it would certainly change our relationship with the community at large. If you have owner equity, you definitely get some respect in the community that renters simply don't. There, in fact, is a project or two currently being proposed that are owner that are affordable, especially elderly affordable housing. Rather than rental housing. There are some suggestions on the table. Interestingly, the proposals I know of are grassroots. They're coming from within the community. They're not coming from top down from the city.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. I was just interested. The city, about a year ago, sold about $77 million worth of low-income housing. I was wondering where that $77 million went to. You know, supposedly some of it was going to go for, helping the homeless problem, but I don't know. Does anybody have any idea?
Well, I would like one of the city officials to answer that question because off the record I was told that some of these sale monies, that the current sale, has already gone into the general coffers, and I wasn't aware that that is legal. Can you take housing money and put it into the general budget, especially if a sale has not gone through? So to answer your question, I can't answer your question directly. I would prefer a city official that knows the answer to call. I would ask a city official right now to call 524-1080 and answer our questions. Please.
Yeah. And part of our unhappiness with this whole thing, that in 2007, administration bills were already in front of city council to maximize the price of these properties, put them on the market, and divert the funds out of housing altogether. We tried to stop that. This was long before any resident advocacy got involved at all. Now, what it appears that after all our discussion and all these years later, the city appears to be doing exactly what it originally planned to do. Maximize the price, put the properties on the market, and now your question is where's the money going? A lot of it is being recycled into other housing projects, but that's something we should be doing regardless of the sale. I mean, housing our people should not depend on this particular sale, which in fact is unhousing people. We can talk about that later.
What are we What are we relying on to say that the money is going into other housing? Is there an actual report where we could track that? Are you familiar with? Or have you had access to it?
Proposals on the table. Some. Mm-hmm. We also want to talk about some very good things that actually are being proposed. And there, some of them are proposing to use this money. Of course, our question is, why can't we do these? These are things we should be doing anyway. We don't need to depend on this sale. But for example, for the first time that I know of, our homeless and housing multiple programs. This is always have been complex, multifaceted problems. Homeless and housing at all, affordable at all levels of income. For the first time, so far as I know, these have been unified. They've been consolidated, at least in the Senate, under Senator John Oakland. And she is taking a unified, under her committees, taking a unified, comprehensive approach to this. And a lot of people are doing a lot of good work to get housing started. We're looking at least 50,000 affordable units of different levels of income, owner and renter units, special needs housing, chronic homeless housing, as well as gap income, mid-range, moderate, mid-range housing, elderly housing, chemical dependency housing, housing first, a whole range, a really unified, coordinated approach. There are good things. There also are community initiatives for elderly ownership housing right here in Chinatown.
But it seems that there are goods about it, but it appeared that there's not much sharing of information from top down. You know,
exactly.
There's this desire to, amongst the tenants and the renters, which is always healthy. What I'd ask, did they ever incorporate or solicit opinions from the tenants or the people that benefit from the affordable homes? Did they ever incorporate your thoughts, your needs, or do formal interviews? Or is it that they just decided to sell it because of fiscal?
Well, no, they didn't ask our opinion.
Well, wait, now, to be fair, they did call these meetings. but in those meetings, now I'm speaking personally. I don't want to offend anybody, but this is to me personally. In these meetings, these resident meetings that these housing officials called, and the city as well, I don't feel that I got my questions answered. Mm-hmm. I asked a question, and I got a different answer to a question that I didn't even ask. And I just don't feel that it is an open process. Mm-hmm. And that is my bottom line. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, yes, they did reach out, but they didn't fulfill my personal, what I was trying to get out of it. And I could see that many of the residents didn't feel fulfilled either.
Mm-hmm. And there's a tendency that the more that they meet with us, the very great feeling of talking at us, not with us. The more they talk at us, the more confused we are.
Exactly. More confusion.
Which suggests that they are predisposed. They know what it is that they want, and it's on a track, and it's a time frame that they want to accomplish it, because at a fast pace, typically, when you see a government working at fast pace, generally it's to get past any
residents
or questions or queries.
Your honest math.
Just
driven.
Real quick. And let's go back to this, the actual sale. You mentioned HUD.
Could I add one thing to that before we do go to the sale? Because the sale itself is an item sort of in addition to the good things that are happening. Mm-hmm. Sales kind of crossways to the good things. But ask what input did residents have to this. We actually did a remarkable thing early in this process. We drafted our own resolution, 08-108, and the resolution was unanimously adopted by City Council in 2008. And in that resolution, we put forth the conditions that we wanted. We never opposed the sale, because the truth is we thought we could get better owner. I mean, the city was busy telling us they were not competent owners. So we said, great, let's sell. We can get competent owners. What we needed, though, were the right buyers. We wanted to ensure that we got the right buyers who could and would preserve affordable preserve our affordable resources and house our people. We put this resolution on the table, unanimously adopted by City Council, to provide guidelines for all the rest of the coming sale process. The resolution was incorporated in the RFP.
And again, I speak personally. They are not abiding by that resolution.
And they proceeded to cherry-pick items in the resolution that suited them and ignore others.
That becomes more frustrating than I would guess.
Oh, we work so hard.
Can you sense
the
frustration in my voice?
Oh, yeah. I'm just looking at it from a distance in the research and try to get records and documents and talking to
Jun Yang,
the head, the mayor's appointed czar, and I'm trying to think, but I queried him. Where's your expertise in being at the helms that you could commandeer this thing and steer it right? And it left me with an empty feeling of this was just more of the same, and nothing's going to improve.
And without transparency or accountability or the oversight that City Council is now stepping up, I think, to provide.
I interrupted
I'm almost done with that thought. One of the items that they cherry-picked on us was item 7 in Resolution 08-108, and that mandated ongoing communication and partnership with residents and other stakeholders throughout the process, partnership in implementing the terms of the sale. And that just simply didn't happen. Promises were made, and we don't think they were kept.
And with the switch of the administration, the former administration is when the sale started to go through. Then there was the election, and of course, former Mayor Peter Carlisle did not win that election. And again, I'm speaking from a personal standpoint. It seems to me that the former mayor, Peter Carlisle, did have the right intentions on providing affordable housing with the approval of the sale or to go through. And I'm not digging on our current mayor. I'm just saying that it seems to me there's a difference in the climate of the way we are being dealt with as residents from the prior administration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this selling the housing is not necessarily a bad thing. If we could upgrade our ownership, it could be a very good thing. Transitioning to private ownership is not necessarily a bad thing. But it's like anything else. There's a right way and a wrong way to do anything, and you can be doing a good thing in a wrong way and make a mess of it. And I think it's, from our perspective, it's the city's not doing a bad thing. This could be a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, well, back to core competencies again here.
But in theory, it's a good thing to sell it if you look. But how can we entertain that when there's no transparency? They're not incorporating your thoughts and your needs, and they're not consulting with the tenants. So I would say the sale is death to any tenant in the it's you can't wed the two. It's either it's bad or it's good, and if they're not listening, there's nothing good about it. It's like going and telling your doctor you got a headache, and he started treating you for your lower portions of your body. Someone's listening, not listening. So why make the visit? So, I real quick in the holy thought, but go back to this in lieu. Here's something that really upsets me: is that when they can build with the understanding that they're going to build at another location affordable homes, and then they just opt out to say, well, we're not going to build, but we're going to give the city, we're going to buy back that option. What I'm puzzled about is who decides what is a dollar amount on the actual purchase or what, how much you give back to the city. That equation, for me, it escapes me. And I sought it, I looked for it. So this entire process of affordable homes is questionable. I don't believe that it has any integrity in the. It's susceptible to many missteps and backdoor dealings, and it invites backdoor dealings.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you make the approval, the original approval, down the line, the public isn't following that. So that, anyway, something I wanted to
Yeah. There are a lot of items here I would like to unleash some investigative journalism into the whole housing situation here.
Mm-hmm.
I really would. A lot of this, there's so much going on here. A lot of this is just simply not expert in a lot of these. Jane is quite right. We're a resident perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We know what it looks like to live in these properties.
But it's good
but
to have
you're
the
talking
evidence
the technicalities
to talk.
of these programs.
Right.
You talk about technicalities. You talk about costs. I'm going to break it down for you because I broke it down for myself.
Go for it.
In terms of this sale, the numbers go like this. I currently pay, I'm in a market unit. The way the structure is currently set up, you make a certain amount of income from the lower levels to the mid levels and then the higher levels in terms of the building. Okay, I pay market. So I'm not talking about affordable right now. I'm talking about market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So for a market unit, I currently pay $1,029 a month. Under the proposed sale, if it were to close in March of 2014 the way they want, by 2014 my rent goes up to $1,132. Now, I'm not including electricity, cable, phone. By the end of the 5 years, okay, because the proposal is to raise my rent 10% over the next 5 years. So I extrapolated the numbers, and by the year 2018, which is the end of the 5 year period, I will be paying close to $2,100. $2,100!
For rent! Not parking.
Oh, no. All of that includes that $2,100
okay.
a month.
Ouch.
Includes phone, cable, electricity, parking, and that's with today's prices.
Right.
Who knows how much electricity is going to be in 5 years, how much cable is going to be, but parking may go up
mm-hmm.
because they're proposing $180 for parking. I currently pay $80 for parking. They're proposing by next March that I pay $180 in parking. That is a cost that I cannot bear,
mm-hmm.
not just for the first year, but for the next 5 years, my rent's going to go up by 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I sit there and pay $2,000 a month to rent?
Right.
I can go out and buy
right.
something for that much. This is why I'm disgusted at this
mm-hmm.
point.
Mm-hmm.
Who can afford that? And now this is a market unit.
Right.
What about the people who are paying currently? I don't know what the lower levels are paying. Do you, Steve?
Across the 12 properties, we have residents in these properties as low as 30% in their income, as low as 30% of the area median income. That's low. This is very low income. Paying, I don't know, maybe around $400 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Their rents, too, this is part of the math. As the math unfolds, as we start to get answers together with our area legislators, the math unfolds. We're discovering that almost everybody is going to be displaced. Or is at risk from
mm-hmm.
being displaced.
Mm-hmm.
Jane is over the 60% area median income in income. Her rents are going up 10% a year for at least 5 years, and then sky's the limit for market. But the truth is that even under 60% area median income, the low income, our low income folks, the most at risk people in housing, they're rents are going to increase 10% per year.
Also, for 10 years.
For a maximum of 10% per year for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're earning 30% of area median income, your rents are going to go up to the 60% HUD recommended 60% rent level.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our 30% people earning 30% of the area median can't pay 60%. There, your rents are going to more than double, so are theirs.
And what about the gap income people?
Gap, this sale is going to eliminate gap housing entirely.
And where do they go? I mean, they, where do they go? Along the streets at Ala Park?
There, well, there is no gap. Gap is the moderate, it's the mid-range income. Mm-hmm. These are gap incomes are too high to qualify for rental assistance programs, but they're too low to afford market. They right. fall right through this gap here. There is no financing currently available to build gap housing. There's no true gap housing being built out there. There's lots of financing. There is financing for low-income housing.
So go back and...
So where do they go? We don't know.
Yeah, let's look at the sale. So the buyer, and you folks can fill in the names of the buyers, and so it's up for sale now. We don't know because the city won't share with us what the actual mortgage is, if there is a mortgage on this. Let's just take Chinese Plaza, Gateway Plaza.
Chinatown Gateway Plaza.
Gateway Plaza. Mm-hmm. We don't know the mortgage, do we, if there is a mortgage?
No, because I don't think they're breaking it down per property, and if they are, they're not disclosing it publicly.
Right. So let's just say, in theory, that this one housing unit or this facility is being sold. If it's sold, the amount of money taken out of it, maybe that's why they lumped them all together, because as an individual sale, they wouldn't stand.
Mm-hmm.
So you commingle them to conceal these things that I'm querying. Mm-hmm. And that is, if there is a mortgage, does the city have to pay back that mortgage first to HUD, then in turn take the money that's left over? And what is that amount? And then who really, what is the really benefit to the public? Nothing. But the buyer gets to immediately start taxing you and making fees and rents, and he's bringing in
money. And
they can
also collect tax credits.
Right, tax credits, and then turn around and sell those on the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
So why would the mayor, Peter Caldwell,
Kirk Caldwell,
proceed with this, and who really introduced this particular sale? What administration? What did this? Who was the brain? Whose brainchild is this?
The sale has been on the table since long before my time. I've been here. I've lived here for 14 years, and this sale was on the table long before then. I don't know where this talk started.
You know, when I think about this whole thing, now I haven't been a resident as long as some of the people who have been in that building, but the way I personally look at it is the city offered these affordable homes, okay, which was great. They were affordable. But now in the modern day and age, and according to modern HUD standards, we're not paying enough. So with the sale, they hope to regain the deficit that has happened over the last, 10, mm-hmm. 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, my personal opinion is I'm having to pay for the city's shortfall. I'm having to pay for the city mismanaging their contract, mismanaging their, you know, yes, they called it affordable 20 years ago, and it was affordable 20 years ago, but they didn't up the rents over those 20 years to make it healthy enough to comply with the current economy.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're having to, like I said, I'm going to have to pay $2,000 in 5 years to catch up with the city not raising the rents for the past 20 years.
And you have a job and employed and...
Gainfully employed,
right.
And yes. What
now,
about the people who are not?
This brings me back to this old thing called war on poverty. I think the what's really bad here is that HUD, and repeatedly now I'm seeing that apparently HUD's approach is to just hand the money off with some written conditions, but even the tenants, the renters, or the benefactors are not able to speak directly to HUD in a meaningful way. HUD should, in fact, instead of just handing the money and walking away and reporting that this is what they do, there should be greater oversight and monitoring. We shouldn't, as citizens, shouldn't have to ask and beg and solicit these reports or transparency. HUD should ensure, as the giver, there should be conditions, and these conditions should be reinforced by oversight.
I would suspect that they do. And
but
the
where
breakdown,
is it?
The breakdown is at the city level.
Yeah, but I understand. But the question is, why then is that the tenants or the benefactors can't get any of the information? Can you write HUD?
Well, the HUD equity, the proportion of HUD in money in these buildings, we do know that for example, Chinatown Gateway Plaza was 60% HUD money, and it varies. It's variable across these different properties. Where the financing stands now, mm-hmm. though, we can't seem to find that out.
Well, I think
how much has been paid back, how much is left to pay.
That would be a nugget in your attempt to sway or influence the sale of getting the right answers and the right outcome. I think HUD owe it to this community rather than just shelling out money and walking away and saying, we've done our job. You shouldn't be, and none of us should be struggling to get just the basic answers. HUD should step in. I don't mean to attack them if it sounds, it's just that that's just common sense. If you can't get it from asking the city or the buyer, then someone needs to intervene because it's federal money, federal oversight.
The danger is if the city continually doesn't know its HUD requirements and can't meet the HUD deadlines for managing this money, and it's done this at least twice now around this sale, actually to the point of stopping the postponing right. the sale. If the city can't manage its HUD money, the HUD will take care of it. The city simply won't get HUD money. It's jeopardizing, and this is many millions that we really could use for good projects.
Mm-hmm.
This inability to manage HUD money is jeopardizing our ability to house our people. It's jeopardizing our federal money. It is. You're right. Why should citizens be the one who are scared about this?
Yeah.
Are sitting here and talking, trying to talk this.
Well, you and I talked yesterday. Just obtaining access to be able to peruse through the files, it's costly.
The public records, what are supposed to be public records.
So, they're able to tack on a big fee, like we find in this administration, especially with this Caldwell administration. The fee is a game now. You can look at the records.
For a fee.
You want to see the records? Kurt Caldwell is the most transparent mayor or administrator I've ever witnessed in government. But you better have the money to pay them. Serious. Honestly, this man should get an award, guys. I'm not lying to you. Every office will give you, wheel out truckloads of documents, but you better damn well have the money to pay him. Now, American, un-American, I don't know, but this is one of the reasons, personally, now, like you say, mm-hmm. personally speaking, my opinion, mm-hmm. I'd love to see him with that red checkered shirt just fade on into glory and leave. Because how desperate are we for transparency? And he goes, you want transparency?
You got to pay for it.
Here you are, brother.
Pay this fee.
Yeah, transparency. And we're not talking about, it's so insulting, and I'm not afraid, that he's going to charge you large amounts of money for poor record keeping.
Mm-hmm.
Lazy workers who don't file anywhere in the beginning, and then they tell you we're going to charge you so much for 15 minutes because the law allows it. And I'm looking for 661 pages, and they want to charge me $1,300, $325 just for that portion.
That's crazy.
But like I say, guys, Kirk Caldwell deserves a medal. He is the most transparent mayor I've ever, even government entity. You can get his records.
For a price.
It's serious now. I'm not being facetious.
No,
did someone call? Is someone waiting?
No, they disappeared. Oh. But Dave, you can call back. We weren't ignoring you, but when we get talking about this, it's any of you.
524. Good. I thought we were answering questions here.
524-1080 is the number. We're going to take a break shortly, but go ahead, guys, and share you some other thoughts.
I think that the thing about records, we had the same problem when we tried to get our management services agreement. That's the contract between the city and our managing agent for our property to to see exactly what the city and the managing agent obligation, contractual obligations were to us as residents. And we formed up our tenant association, in fact, within those within those obligations. It cost us a lot of money to get to, we had to go and buy our public record here. that is a symptom. Yeah. Well, and it's a symptom. I mean, the mismanagement is costly. Back to doing the right thing, but doing it in the wrong way, you know.
Yeah.
Doing things the wrong way is very expensive.
And then the taxpayers got to foot the bill.
Who pays? Yeah.
It's us. The taxpayers.
For me, it's, and this could open the door on a lot of issues that we could spend more Sundays on later. For me, it's a sloppy idea of what good economy is in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Good economy is not more clever ways to extract profits from communities. That's not good economy. Good economy is more clever ways to invest in healthy communities.
And now, speaking of healthy communities,
this sale is not an investment in a healthy community. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the opposite.
And to sort of expand on what you're talking about right now, currently the way it's structured, and I'm speaking just for our building, it's a mixed income building. Okay, you go from low income to the market value income. So I like the way it's structured right now because you get a mixture of people. The way the sale is, in my opinion, if it were to close in March of 2014, you will have an extreme chart of people. You will have low income and market value. The gap income, the middle income people disappear because it's extreme. It seems to me that they're devaluing the community, not making it a good economic surrounding. There's not an even distribution of working professionals and people who are low income.
And phasing you out with the ink pen by through these sales, you are reducing the available units, living quarters for people in need of this in these areas. So they're going to squeeze you out.
Right.
But they're not squeezing you out. They're allowing a private entity to come in and squeeze you out. And generally, there's little control over it because they're private.
Mm-hmm.
That's the danger. Yeah. We're getting down to the last minutes. We'll come back. And 524-1080 is the number if you want to call in. Those of you that see me on the street and says, I was going to call in, now is your time. So in the next hour, give us a call back. But I just want to give a little funny part. This is a request under the Board of Water Supply. They tell me I owe them $1,160. And that's just for them searching the records. 54.50 hours they're going to search the records. Now, that's what they're charging me, $1,090. Now, to get the documents, I got to pay $165. The actual documents only cost me $165.
Oh, God.
But to pull them out of the file, it's going to cost me $1,000. This Kurt Caldwell is a sharp dude, man. I mean, I like him. I like his style. I mean, you know, we will be in the black in 2 weeks at this pace. We won't have fiscal problems.
Well, the city will be in the black, but the residents will all be broke.
No. We will be in the dark.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back shortly.
Stay tuned for the second half of The Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Voices still and they're crying across the land, and they will till we all come to understand. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us are chained. None of us are free. And there are people still in darkness, and they just can't see the light. If you don't say it's wrong, then that says it's right. We've got to try to feel for each other. Let our brothers know that we care. Got to get the message, send it out loud and clear. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us are chained. None of us are free. It's a single truth we all need, just to hear and to see. None of us are free. Isn't too hard to find. None of us can find it on our own. We've got to join together in spirit, heart, and mind, so that every soul who's suffering will know.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. Hopefully we're getting a good message out to you, a discussion. This is on the sale, the proposed sale of affordable homes here in Honolulu. There's 12 units or separate facilities, I'll call them facilities, that are up for sale. And my guest is Mr. Steve Loos and Ms. Jane Pasquale, and they are residents at some of these facilities. And big questions. Why are they selling it? Who are they selling it to? What for? And how will it benefit the home situation here, the decline in affordable homes? And I'm going to make sure we talk about, insert a little bit about the workforce affordable home, because some of us are misled when we see the Kaka'ako facilities being built and proposed, and they talk about workforce homes. Let's not mix the two. That's an entirely different situation. But if you don't listen carefully and not skilled at the listening about discussion of homes, you'll think and be told by some administrators, oh, well, that's part of the homeless and the affordable homes efforts that the city is proposing and the state is proposing. So not true. They're completely different animals. And, guys, welcome back. 524-1080 if you'd like to call in or have a question or comment.
First off, I just want to, on the record, say that I am not against the sale. I'm against this sale.
Mm-hmm.
For reasons of I don't feel that they're being transparent enough. I don't think that it's fair. There are many reasons why I'm against this sale, but I am not against a sale. I am not against my rent being increased. Realistically, I know that my rent should be increased to meet the current HUD standards in terms of rent. But I don't want it to be drastically increased like it's being increased in this proposed sale. Not proposed sale, but in this sale, my rent will go up no matter what they're saying the numbers are. In my numbers, it's going to go up 50% in the next 5 years, my rent. And mm-hmm. I currently pay $1,029 by the end of the 5 years, and that's just my rent, $1,029. But by the end of the five-year period, I will be paying nearly $2,100. That includes parking, electricity, cable, and phone. And those are just the basic costs of rent, you know, paying rent and having the things that you need, a phone, TV, you know, $2,100 to rent. To me, that's outrageous. I might as well try to go buy something instead of rent.
Can we attempt to re-engineer this sale, start from today and go backwards to see exactly, so the others listening can understand what the threat is here? I think, can you? So whatever, or start from scratch and go for
ideally, that's what I would like.
Mm-hmm. We certainly, on the ground, you want to do it in conversation, so we lay this out. On the ground, literally to re-engineer the sale, we have a golden opportunity to do that if we would take it, because the original approval, city council approval, was rushed through without doing the honest math. Slowing the sale down now through mismanaging the HUD requirements, if this does in fact stop or postpone this sale, we have a golden opportunity, literally, to re-engineer this sale, to take a look at the things that, where the math doesn't work, and take a look at the things and improve this sale. We could do that.
Okay.
The sale itself, the way that it unfolded, we've been saying the city's been intending to sell for years. They finally got into an RFP process.
Request for proposal.
Mm-hmm. Requests for proposals. Gathered some proposals together, sorted through the applicants, and basically picked the biggest. There was one proposal that just put more money on the table than anybody else. A for-profit group. There were nonprofits and for-profits. We preferred a nonprofit. It's easier to do affordable housing, we think, with nonprofits because they don't need that extra profit above the cost of business. We ended up with a for-profit organization, which can't help but add to the cost passed through the rent increases to residents.
Mm-hmm.
This would take some good investigative journalism, too, but it certainly looked to us, resident perspective, again, Jane and I are both careful to disclaim where this is a resident perspective. It certainly looked to us like the terms of the RFP, the original requirements being input, and the terms of the RFP can sort of evolved as the sale went on.
Mm-hmm.
So the final sale we ended up with, the final proposed terms, are not really the proposed terms that we went in mm-hmm. to the process with in the first place. For example, we don't oppose the sale done right, as Jane said, and we think this sale is not done right, and here is how this unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
It was never part of any original thinking. This emerged later. It was never part of any original proposals to collapse the mixed income structure in these properties. The mixed income structure, where we actually had layers in the building, physically in the building, for low income, moderate income, and higher incomes. This mixed income structure was deliberately implemented in these buildings in the beginning. It was actually a condition of building these buildings in Chinatown in the first place. My understanding is that it emerged from the environmental impact assessment process mm-hmm. that planned these buildings and this community in the first place. This proposed sale collapses that mixed income structure by eliminating the mid-range entirely and eventually eliminating all of the market as well, these buildings eventually will be entirely below 60% AMI. And not much below, because those rents will rise too, and very low incomes can't afford 60% AMI rents. It's going to be a narrow band of incomes right at about 60% of the area.
Let me, when you say AMI, this is the area household median income.
Area
so AMI.
Median income, the area median income for one person household.
And this is
2013 is $68,600. For a two-person household is $78,400.
Okay, so, but this is according to what, HUD standards? Whose standards are these? What is AMI? You know, and see, this is what really pisses me off. The city and these housing officials and the buyers, you know, they're throwing around these charts and these numbers. The average person, especially the person who, the people who live in our buildings, in all 12 of the buildings, they don't understand this crap. They're not going to sit there and read this chart and go, oh, okay, I understand. No! All they're concerned about is their monthly costs and their bottom line and how it's going to affect their future. They can barely make groceries. They can barely make, you know, whatever it is that they need to get by. And now they got to look at these charts and go, do I belong here? So they basically displace themselves because they don't make these charts.
Yeah.
That so anyway, my question was,
yeah.
These,
well, the
quotes,
The charts themselves are area median income is actually the middle income, if you array all incomes in the area in order from smallest to highest.
But this is according to what?
This is just the mathematical median. It's
according
the middle,
to government?
No, according to the census figures.
Oh,
it's
census.
Simply
oh.
It's simply the middle income in an array. Now, what we do with it, of course, becomes HUD. The HUD standard. What, arbitrarily saying that low income is below 60, gap is either 60 or 80 to 120 or 140 of area median income. Now, that's HUD saying that 30% of your income is affordable rent above
right.
that.
Yeah,
that now, these are HUD standards, but the raw numbers are simply census.
This reminds me of a discussion I had a while back about the handicap in ADA. There was a study. It says the average person walks so many miles a day. And everybody, oh, really? But there are some people that don't walk at all, and they need to have accessible driveways and curbs and what have you. So what do you do? Do you apply the average? And that's what's happening here. The average person can afford, but there are some people that can't. And so where do they end up? At Ala Park or in some ditch or sleeping somewhere sick, dying along the side of the road? So, for me, when we were talking yesterday about AMI, and I'm thinking, that's America moving in the wrong direction.
Oh, are we running making the world safe for a money economy, or are we making the world safe for people?
Yeah, it's like AMI, you know. But we were talking yesterday, and again, and they got these numbers, and then you look at the workforce, and there's that 801 South Street. They're talking about that Kakaako, and it's like, they give us, it's like you're saying, Jane, and I'm outraged too, but, you know, for me, I got to be careful. I start throwing things, and I can't afford to buy the station.
Well, they're related. When we're talking gap income, and that this proposed sale is going to eliminate gap income out of Chinatown, and where do these people go? Then we're talking workforce housing. You're right. These are different standards. They're different scales. They're related. I think workforce housing corresponds generally to gap incomes. It's moderate, the mid-range, because workforce are not very low incomes, but they're also not the very high incomes either. Young professionals. Here come your teachers and firemen and policemen.
Nurses,
medical people, and all your technicians. Interestingly enough, here come your state employees and city employees. They're actually eliminating their city and state eliminating their own employees from this housing when they eliminate gap housing. So they're not quite the same scale. Workforce was developed for a different purpose, to be an industry related, but they relate. Workforce is generally gap housing. And the problem with with the developers over the years have succeeded in kind of jacking these levels up higher so they can define workforce housing up to 140%.
But we're not talking about workforce housing. We're talking about affordable housing.
Right.
And really, affordable housing for real people is below 140%. The population we're talking about here, residents here, run from 30 to maybe 120.
Here's a point that someone raised with me and said, well, this is you're talking about people that want something for nothing.
Oh, that is so not true.
And here's what I have to say then, and here's what I have to say.
Actually, we are, but they're the people making the money.
Yeah, right. But, you know, what I have to say to that then is that if there's any truth to that, then this is the best example. The city is getting something for nothing because they're the one that's taking the money.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not spending it properly. They're not administering it properly. They're not using it wisely. So who is really the welfare kid here?
Mm-hmm.
The city. The politicians. The bureaucrats.
Yes.
They are the ones who's looking for something for nothing because it's intended with a specific purpose.
They say
they're failing.
They're
getting the money,
the
something for nothing.
Who's taking
it? Right? You follow.
Yeah.
So always the accuser is the one we should focus on. And in this case, this sale is scary. It threatens many aspects of the structure here in Honolulu.
Collapsing the income structure, this deliberate income structure. This is actually the HUD guideline as well as transit-oriented development guideline is mixed income for a healthy, that makes a healthy, robust community of well-rounded incomes. Collapsing this structure doesn't just displace the gap income people with no place to go. It actually repurposes the entire income structure of Chinatown.
Right.
What we're in danger of doing is making a uniform low income project area out of Chinatown, because there won't be anybody in these buildings above 60% AMI.
Well, there might
be in a couple of years.
Because that's their goal, right? The market units, they want people to pay the market price, which will, okay, this is so convoluted. Right now, we're paying, for me, market value, $1,029. And I'm supposed to be grandfathered into this whole sale. So the new renters will then be paying, what, $1,000. So if you're new to the building, not us who have been grandfathered into this, will now come into a market unit for what, 1,132, 1,500? What are we talking?
No, new renters will all be 60% or below AMI renters.
They're not taking any people that are 60% and above?
They are already doing that. They started doing this back when
Bringing it to this point, does that mean that this really is, these guys are looking for something for nothing, welfare, because, the buyer and the city, and that will they be able to charge, Section 8 or get subsidized, the person that moves in? So it sounds like a money grab. They'll keep some of them and fill it with people that really can't, so they can just suck the blood of the government funds. I don't know. I'm just...
I'm going to just break it down. It sounds to me like they're going to ghettoize the Chinatown area. Instead of have a mixed income, they will, to me, again, my personal opinion, is it seems like it's... Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but ghettoize, you know, it's... They're attracting, or they're saying that they're providing affordable housing, but they're displacing the people who can actually pay for that, you know, pay for the building.
I think it has something to do, this sale is remotely related right now to the Kaka'ako development and all. You, rather than having
and
the
transit.
Workforce, yeah, and the transit, to having the workforce there in that facility, they don't want that. They want penthouses and everybody walking around in suits and Gucci bags. Mm-hmm. But over here, ghettoizing, I believe that. I, again, what am I basing it on? There is a possibility, and where there's a possibility, I believe.
Interesting thought that that they're actually forcing up a low income area here. One problem with that is that you don't have to displace gap incomes to create more low income housing, mm-hmm. because all of the financing is available. That all of the financing that is available for low income housing. There isn't any available for the moderate income levels, like the 60 or 80 to 120 or 40.
If you want to build
a lot of low income housing somewhere, the financing is available. You could do that somewhere else. You don't have to destroy the mixed income structure of and destroy existing gap housing, which cannot be replaced.
But it's part of the 12 affordable housing.
To do that.
Mm-hmm. And the city needs the money. So, I mean, I'm trying to be sympathetic to the city's needs here. I understand that they have to make the sale to make up for the deficit that's gone on for the past 20 years in terms of housing. And even just our building alone. Again, I understand that rents have to go up. But why does it have to be so drastic?
It's always been drastic. In fact, monitoring rent conditions and keeping the city apprised and watching over the rent rates is actually an item in the management services contract between the city and its managing agents. They're actually contractually obligated to be watching this stuff. It's because, and renters, of course, should expect a few percent every few years rent increase.
That they should have been normal, doing that.
But that's not how they do it. That's right. That's not how it works. But periodically, somebody wakes up in City Hall, goes, oh, my God, there hasn't been a rent increase in 10 years down here, and they jack up our rents. We recently had a 15% rent increase with the people telling the world, oh, there hasn't been a rent increase in 10 years down here. We proved to them we had had a rent increase 2 years earlier. It didn't matter. They kept telling the world that there's no rent increase in 10 years and jacked up our rents
15%. Would we tolerate...
This is how it really works.
Yeah, but would we tolerate a practice of going to the blood bank and allowing the city to everybody that went through the door to tax? Certain things should be off limits. So if HUD is already having to come in and subsidize housing, that means it's a critical state right there. That means the city has failed already. That means people about to fall through the hellhole. Would we, you suggesting that to allow that this is a good practice, that we would end up taxing something that's already broken and this is a safety net? Would you say, okay, some of you folks, you're just going to have to jump out and we need to use some of this net for something else? Are we really willing to do that, or are we willing to say the housing, affordable housing, is here because HUD and the city justify the need and demonstrate it because there is a real need, but now we're going to turn and look at these people as sources of income and revenue for the city?
I think that's largely previously.
Why do we cut the salaries of some of these useless people that are running in there working three and four jobs and taxing and stealing overtime and double dipping and whatever? Why don't we be aggressive in doing that and let the ones that are less fortunate, you know, because where we're moving, the index is going to be the haves and the have-nots. I think that's what this is about.
Absolutely.
The danger. I don't know.
I would love to unleash some investigative journalism on this. But I think you're right. In previous administrations, there appears to have been a different vision of what healthy community is, mm-hmm. and what the future should be in Honolulu. That this housing was built deliberately so that real people could really live
a real life,
real lives in real neighborhoods. It was, right. and the mixed structure was deliberately put there. Recent administrations seem to have a different vision. They're not investing in healthy community like this original vision. They're interested in taking profits from communities
and spending it where? That's the problem.
As a previous caller said, where's the money?
Yeah. To be fair, I don't know what they're doing with the money, but I think they're trying to catch up in modern-day economy. So that's what they're trying to do with the money, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Good point. And that gives all the credit that's due, I think, to our area legislators, who absolutely are we've got wonderful area.
Well, I have a little dirt to kick in the face on that one, because if that was true, they would be as transparent as you could ever, because they'd be soliciting good opinion, strong opinion, and they would want the truth in order to arrive at a true solution. I think what that's called on the Carol Cox Show is BS. That is absolutely nonsense, because if they were really attempting to incorporate and manage our affairs, you could walk in and have a sensible conversation with John Jun Yang. Well, I'm sorry, you would be able to walk in into that office and talk to a person that had the expertise, first of all. So when we look at his qualifications, right, and determine that we just ain't got it. So I beg the difference that this is, they're not arriving at a solution to satisfy the needs of homelessness and affordable homes. And anything else is, because when you surround yourself with people that are not adequately skilled at regulating and introducing new rules and new approach, this guy, you barely can reach his office. And then when you do reach his office, it's one individual. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that's like giving the bucket brigade one bucket. I'm sorry, the fire is just smoldering, and it's not to benefit and address, in my opinion.
I'm absolutely. I'm going to split the difference with you.
Okay.
And look at it this way, that we definitely tried to have conversations with City Hall. And, we had our resolutions, and we organized ourselves. We even attempted an area-wide organization, which got a co-opted a bit and is no longer functional. In fact, was administratively dissolved by the state, as a matter of fact, for inactivity, finally. We have, in fact, tried. We're back to our original point. We can't get answers. There's no transparency or accountability. Apparently, ongoing communication and partnership with residents is not a core competence of this city either.
But
so
how do we make them transparent?
When these conversations fail, we call on our area legislators. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we're doing now. Residents appear to have no standing in these conversations, but as voting, tax-paying citizen customers, don't forget, we're customers.
Consumers as well.
Yes.
You're
we
customer.
Do have standing with our legislators, with our elected area, elected people, and they have standing in all public conversations, and that's what we're doing now. That's the state of the conversation. And by the way, speaking of being customers, we are customers. What kind of an organization refuses to talk to its customers?
But when you call, business. When the customer calls, you call the city agency, call what? Customer services.
Yeah. Well, usually an organization that refuses to talk to its customers is an organization planning to fail.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
But I just speaking of now, the offices that most of this is Pam Whitty Oakland. A lot of the funding comes through there through HUD.
She's the director of the Department of Community Services.
Right. And
so
and
a lot of city housing initiatives.
So let me just share with you.
She inherited the heat. Yes.
Well, I wouldn't say she inherited. She purposely put herself there because nobody put a gun to her head. I don't hear any complaints. But just to share a little story, she was, while being appointed there, she was also the president, vice president at St. Francis Hospital. She found her way. They had already gotten more than $1 million or $2 million for the facility out there in Ever Beach, which she headed. Okay, she then, in turn, once she got in, had her people to pencil in another $466,000 to give her own organization that she was serving, probably still is. She may have woken up and felt the fire behind her. And in turn, but how is it that she can give her own company and herself $466,000? Well, the reason I raise that is that HUD then steps in, and I have the documents. We've covered it on this show. When these people that are handling the housing matters, and then they say, we talk from a position of integrity, we have good sound ideas, and we're going to move forward, and we're going to benefit the customer, which is the people who benefit from the affordable homes. When you have this kind of behavior, and by the way, they would never want to give me the records because I wanted a copy of the check. But I contacted HUD, HUD itself, this is why I don't have much respect for HUD either, because HUD played the game. Well, we sent her a letter, but we didn't really send her a letter. We told them that she had spent the money or received the money improperly and just kind of like in a gentleman's way told them to give it back. Well, I have an email that speaks to that. So I offer that not to be mean-spirited, but to say be extremely observant of what is being proposed. This sale and who was put in to oversee it, it's nothing but a shackle on the people. Nothing. There's no good's going to come out of it because they're not intending to do any good. And HUD, again, back to my original statement, should in fact be more aggressive and demanding records and all of those things so that you can be able to make an informed opinion and move forward. And then go back to that resolution that you want people, the city council, what number is it, and the listeners should get involved and call and explain again because we talked about it in the first hour.
Yeah.
If not call, write in testimony.
Yeah, mm-hmm. go to the city council website and you'll see the look for the agenda for the Wednesday meeting, this coming Wednesday.
It's the last December item on 11th, the agenda.
Very near the end. It's resolution 13-292.
13-2. So call your city council people, those that don't have computers, call them and offer your opinion and offer your support for this if you're inclined to. And for those of with internet, contact them all. So your prospective city council. So you think that would get some control over this car out of control?
Well, that's my reason for supporting this resolution.
Okay.
Is that I very much encourage city council to step up to its oversight and check and balance responsibilities. And we're talking solution now. Mm-hmm. And not just in this sale, but I mean every day in every way. That's we need our city council to step up to check and balance and oversight and simply not allow administration in any especially huge public initiatives just to have its way, steamroll, mm-hmm. literally steamroll people with no accountability and no transparency.
Would it be helpful if the mayor came down and had a town hall meeting to speak specifically to the community that lives and rely on it?
Well, I don't know. we've had a number of meetings. They call these resident meetings. I'm really not sure. Now it's my turn.
I'm sure. I don't think that our or my questions are going to be answered. I think mm-hmm. I'm going to be more confused.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to talk at me and talk down to me, and not talk with me. And they're not going to listen. They're going to talk over me. Mm-hmm. That's what at least has happened in my personal experience with these resident meetings that they have.
Because this sale is in motion.
That's what I meant mm-hmm. to say.
Yeah.
I was trying to frame it a little more sugar-coated.
So Jane was polite.
That's it. Short answer, no.
I think what Steve is trying to say or meant to say.
No, you know, I'm not afraid of the sale.
Right.
Okay, that was not right. I am afraid of the sale because it's going to displace me.
Yeah.
Now, I have somewhere to go, but that isn't the point.
Mm-hmm.
The point is I'm not the only one being displaced.
Yeah, there are other people there.
Virtually everybody within
vulnerable.
A few years, except a narrow band right at 60% of AMI.
And what about the people that don't have somewhere to go? I have somewhere to go. What about the people that don't have somewhere to go? I don't want to see them at Ala Park. I don't want to see them in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
We already have a homeless problem. Let's not make it worse.
Yeah. That's
and this is 12 units, not just your place. Where there's 12 facilities.
So it's 12 mm-hmm. properties.
Properties.
There's a total of 1,257 rental units.
But one second. Let me stop you right there. The sale, when we talk about the sale, clarify. It's really not the sale of the property. It's the sale of the building.
The sale of the buildings themselves.
And the city retains the land. So my question is, Are they going to get it for a dollar a year?
So no.
I mean, the city's going to rent. How much are they going to rent the land to the buyer?
It's as a leasehold sale. So the city retains the land. Then the buyer will buy the properties. I don't really know what the lease will be.
Okay.
What are they going to charge
the buyer? I think it's a perpetuity thing.
Right.
And here's another thing that doesn't make sense. We, and this is just the bottom line, I think the taxpayers are footing the sale.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though the city is supposed to be exchanging the monies, who is the city? It's the taxpayers.
Right.
And, you know, this pisses me off because people are not going to, average people are not going to read the black and white. They're not going to get involved because it's too much to, even for me, mm-hmm. someone who has gone to college, someone who is a paralegal, someone who is a former journalist and is used to reading big, thick documents, this is overwhelming to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's confusing. So what I'm asking for is, let's just halt the sale for a minute and try to digest what it's going to do and come up with a solution, a healthy one, that is not going to be extreme where I'm going to have to pay $2,000 in 5 years to live there a month, $2,000 a month.
I shared with you yesterday some concerns in a parallel. This rent, we'll sell you the land. You can own the building, but we keep the possession of the land, and then we'll rent it back to you for a dollar a year for the next 55 years. Well, I'm reminded of the Humane Society, the Hawaiian Humane Society. Their facility is, the land is owned by the city.
Mm-hmm.
They, I think, for 55 years they have. And then, here's what I'm concerned with, because this is a similar relationship. No oversight, no holding anybody to the fire, their feet to the fire. This new buyer will embrace us and start to employ certain tactics as well. We need more money, or we can't go and pick up the chickens that are crowing. Okay? Well, we need maybe $50,000-$80,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now the Humane Society at one point stopped responding to the chicken fight. But they're living on our land for a dollar a year. Then all of a sudden, barking dogs, right? So when this big lie about the city's going to benefit, you know, unless they revamp the entire process and put safeguards in, you're going to see people flying out of that building in these
mm-hmm.
facilities, these affordable homes, because they've already demonstrated through relationships between the Humane Society, which is similarly situated, in, if we draw parallels. Not to say that's bad of the Humane Society, but if you can get away with it, and if the politicians will suck the blood of the lower income people, because taxpayers are paying, mm-hmm. and give it to their friends.
I think it's already started.
Yeah.
People are already leaving. We emphasized the fear, the uncertainty, the stress of people. People are already leaving, and when they do, they're being replaced with low-income people. They're already swapping, lowering the income here.
I better leave before I
on my own terms.
On my own terms, and so you mass exodus, a silent exodus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the city is denying that they're displacing anybody. No residents will be displaced. But the truth is, if you're forced out because your rents are increasing 10% a year,
then you're displacing yourself.
That is not a choice. That's displacement.
Right, but it'll never be told because you don't get to know who they are, and you don't get an exit interview.
Well, and the more people who leave out of fear before the sale closes, the better off.
And they can be just.
There also is a HUD requirement. If people are displaced, you have to have a plan with assistance for displaced people, and they want to avoid that.
Yeah.
So they're denying that anybody's being displaced.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
This thing about the documents seems kind of, I mean, how can they charge such outrageous rates? I mean, I can understand maybe the cost of copying or whatever, retrieval or whatever, but, I mean, to me that is totally undemocratic, you know, they can do that. I mean, that's their tactic, you know, to prevent, you know, the exposing of their lies.
Right. Well, they're anyway. building a green wall. That's what I call it now, the green wall.
Oh, yeah, the dollar, yeah.
And the reason why they're charging these exorbitant amounts is to make up for the deficit that they've created over the last 20 years.
Squeezing money out of the community instead of investing in a healthy community.
But remember now, this is so unrealistic. Nobody's going to pay this money anyway. So
well,
it's the green wall.
That is true, but the caller also has a point, because we actually, some years previous, had our city council member try to get documents on our behalf and couldn't get documents.
Well, that's
from right downstairs.
Well, that's just downright illegal. I mean, concealing records. I mean, that's a different subject. Yeah.
But the caller has a point. I mean, there's more to it than that. The money is everything's going to cost you, but there's more to it.
Right.
Well, it's plain undemocratic. That's all there is to it. You can't. I mean, stuff like that should be a lot. You know.
Well,
some people can get them.
Here's why I say that, not to be disagreeable. I say that's all for just hot air, because, you see, we invented the system and adopted it called DocuShare. And we went to great – we spent lots and lots of money to do that, the IT system. And you can post anything in PDF, so I ain't buying it. Sorry, I wish I could embrace that. It's just downright lying and cheating and lack of transparency. DocuShare is there. Say thank you, caller, right quick. We're going to take the next one.
All right. Anyway.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes. Doctor, I'd like to congratulate you, Carol Cox. You're doing a great service for this community. I just want to share that in 1970, Dr. Thomas Hitch, first Hawaiian Bank economist, had said that Hawaii will be only for the idle rich. Only for the idle rich. Mm. And so we must be aware of this. And that your current mayor, Mr. Kurt Kaula, does not represent the people. He represents the wealthy. Mm-hmm. And basically, I believe that it's a plan to displace the poor people in downtown Chinatown. And I want to recommend that if you need an investigative reporter, contact civilbeat.com. Chad Blair has been an effective investigator, and I would suggest that you do so. Also, try to get an audit by a third party, for this whole thing has been a drastic problem. Also, contact the media and have a big rally before Wednesday around City Hall. Confront the mayor and demand for some explanation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, we actually have done some of this. You will see articles occasionally in Civil Beat about how little sense this sale makes. The things we could and should and in some cases are doing to house people. This sale is completely crossways with that. Just makes no sense. Haven't had a good housing audit, I think, since the in lieu fees, and that was just scathing. We enjoyed that.
I'm going to try to find that and post that in lieu.
Should be in the archives of this.
And before we go, again, this is the Carol Cox Show, and my guest is Mr. Steve Loach and Jane Pasquale, and we're talking about the affordable home, the proposal to sell it, but it's in motion already, so it wouldn't be a proposal, would it?
No,
it's
already
in motion.
The proposal's
and scheduled
been
to
accepted.
Close.
They're now in the middle of trying to arrange their financing so they can close the sale.
So here's, I'll take this call, but here's what I'll offer. You guys pick a date, and we'll give you the next another 2 hours, or what, 18 hours, whatever it is, because this is, I think we got them in a box canyon.
I'd like to see what the council meeting brings this Wednesday.
The game may change after Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then we'll come back and have some Coke and some champagne.
We'll have a rally.
Win.
Well, if we do take the opportunity to slow down and get some honest math, then let's do it together.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, just comment on the last callers about Hawaii eventually would be for the idle rich. You know, I have maybe a six-figure income, but I don't consider myself as an idle rich. But we need the working poor because we idle rich. We need guys to do clean our yards. We need maids to clean our house. And we need the working people to put gasoline or fix our cars, the mechanics. So that's totally false that Hawaii will be for the idle rich. Yeah, but basically, I prefer rich people over poor people. That's all I have to say. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, what I'd like to say is that all those people that need somebody to pump their gas, then they got some lazy ass. That's all it is. We don't need them either, because if they're too lazy to pump their gas and cook their own food and wash the dishes, you know. So good thing, caller. Thank you for calling. That was my...
I used to play a game with my political science students, or freshman political science students. I would ask them, how many of you, you know, how many of you want to be 1%? How many of you are going to be 1%ers when you get out in the world? And the whole class would all raise their hand. Everybody would all raise their hand. So, okay, kids, you know that only 1% of you can be the 1%, right?
Here's what
now
I,
how many of you are going to be 1%ers? They'd all raise their hand.
We're coming down to, but here's what. I want to see the veterans, because it was the veterans are an indicator. It reminds us that was to help, and a lot of us benefited from the veteran programs and all to be in the middle class and to create and sustain itself.
Look what investing in healthy community does.
And veterans out there, the days that you walk around and protesting this and waving the flag and all, spend some time, join in, and remind these folks that you went and sacrificed your life, your limbs, and many of and your brothers did, like I did, and so... Let's see some spunk here, you know.
Get behind basic needs. We need to get more serious and more honest about basic
needs. I like to say
needs.
The enemy is coming, but in this situation, the enemy is already here. So.
And I want to comment on the first caller that we had 2 hours ago. I would like to personally see, and I've told Steve this, I would like to buy my unit. Mm-hmm. If there was a way, instead of, you know, a company buying all the buildings, couldn't we offer each individual, or maybe an individual to buy several units? Mm-hmm. You know, why don't we do that?
But
why don't we explore that?
You would be contributing to the ghettoization of it. See,
they
want to ghettofy it. So, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but they want to create that so that they can have containment of the
and
you
tax
won't
credits.
Have protests out there like across the mainland or against. McDonald's, they want $15 an hour. They want compensation. So if you have a captive audience, you create a workforce that you can come in, like Ed called and said, somebody need to pump their gas and feed them, basically. You know, so it's really sad.
I would like to make a comment here about displacing the residents, which the city denies, but look at the math. The more we see of the math, the more disturbing this is. There is a rental assistance program that is proposed, that's being created. And this is something that we really need to keep looking at and get the honest math on this rental assistance program. Mm-hmm. Because the current program, if the program is temporary, then it may delay your displacement for a few years. But in 2 or 3 years, your rent's going to be even higher, and you just delays displacing you. Because you can't pay your rent. If the rental assistance program is made permanent, like there is some talk of doing, in that case, the housing is not really affordable, is it?
Right.
If you need permanent rental assistance to afford your housing, that housing is not affordable. And it also belies one of the stated purposes of this sale, which is to get the city out of housing. Right? This is not a core competence. We need to sell the properties. We got to get out of housing. We're losing money. But then if we turn around and make rental assistance permanent, the city is now subsidizing rents. We're actually paying the buyer to raise our rents to keep from displacing people. It's kind of a blackmail situation.
Jane, real quick.
To speak to your rental assistance program, I want to know where that money is coming from. Who is footing the bill for this rental assistance program?
Well, I tell you, I've enjoyed this. I feel relieved because I struggled with this subject a year and a half ago, a while back, with all the documents, and I tried, and we talked before. You've been here before, Steve, and there's so much to be said and so much to be done. So we got to come back. And there was one thing I want to touch on. Next week I'm going to talk about Chinatown, too, again, because as it was revealed to me that there's some concerns that there's block parties, the enclosure of block parties in Chinatown, and it's having an impact on the bus movement here. And sleep and the noise and the trash is being allowed to put out on a Friday night or Saturday and stay there stinking and smelling till. So we're going to look into that and see what we can do. And the bigger thing is that there's state law that prohibits the sale of booze on the streets.
Yes.
But here in the state, the DTS and the Liquor Commission, as has been pointed out to me, seem to turning a cold shoulder to that. So we're going to ask some questions.
I think it's called a waiver. They had a waiver for that event. Right?
There's 52 weeks in a year. And how many block parties do they have annually?
We have been over, well, not all block parties. We've been over 40 street closures a year. And over half of them were block parties.
And so what that means is the buses are diverted.
Yes.
And what does that mean? How is it the ADA or the senior citizens impacted that rely on that bus to get to shop or get to Chinatown to buy affordable food?
One of the things that attractions of downtown and one of the elements of affordability, you can actually live here without a car. Mm-hmm. But if a particular economic interest is taking their profits from your community,
right,
rerouting your buses, blocking your streets, blocking access to other businesses and your homes, making noise all night so working people can't sleep, then there is an impact. There's a tremendous taking from the community rather than investing in healthy, investing back in healthy. I'm delighted to see you pick this up.
Well, we're going to do it, and then you're going to join me. And even if they pass the resolution, there's still more to be done. So are you going to come back?
I would love to.
Okay, well,
thank you,
Steve,
for having us.
All righty, thank you. And guys, we enjoyed it. We'll see you next week. Again, as always, it'll be on podcasts here in the next 20 minutes at carolcox.com, CarrollCox.com. And again, I say my aloha to Celeste Vokes. We miss you. So we'll see you next week. Aloha.
Thank you.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.